Would you repeat after me? Say, Father,
Father,
I have eyes that see.
I have a heart that perceives.
And guess what? My ears do hear. What your spirit is trying to get through to me. Amen?
Amen.
We're still stuck in 1 Peter, so we're not going to go anywhere else but 1 Peter right now. And we're going to go to chapter 5, which is where we left off on Tuesday. And I want to give you a confirming word about the spirit of wisdom. The spirit of wisdom is not the wisdom of man. The spirit of understanding is not the understanding of man from what he's learned. It is the Holy Spirit's kind of wisdom and the Holy Spirit's revelation to give you understanding of what he's trying to get through to us. And you can't do this out of your rational mind.
Amen.
The more you try to rationalize God, the more you're going to get stuck in your pride on how holy and godly you think you are and what he needs to do in order to change your circumstances. And you don't have a problem usually telling him how to do it and when. Yesterday would have been perfect. If he would only do it my way, I'd have a good day. Now please don't say amen, because you're all in trouble if you do. Chapter 5, verse 1. Elders and young men. And women. To the elders among you I appeal as a fellow elder and a witness of Christ's suffering, and one who has also will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, serving as overseers, not because you must, but because you are willing. So he's waiting for us to say yes. As God wants you to be, not greedy for money, but eager to serve, not lording over those entrusted to you. Take a deep breath. Say, but being an example to the flock. Yeah. If I'm an example to the flock, that means that they can do what I do and they won't be getting into trouble. Amen? Because I will be under the anointing of God's wisdom and not my own. Because you see, we like to give advice because we survived something and we think we could save the other from having any pain. Yeah, that's not God's Holy Spirit's wisdom, is it? That's my kind of wisdom. Carnal, natural, logical. After all, if I went through it and I got through it, I can teach them how to do it my way. How far do you think you're going to get in the kingdom with doing it your way? How far?
Not far.
You won't. You won't be able to do it. You know why? Because you're going to be like every other Christian that's doing it his way. And God's not in it. And that's why I was trying to teach you this morning when I first started to give you that understanding that God gives wisdom to the wise that are already wise in the natural, but they need to become wiser.
Amen.
Under him. And the only way you're going to get wiser under him is when he reveals his plan to you. It's not going to come by you studying in a book. You know, the Jews had it so pure in their way of thinking They learned from the time they were little. They could recite so much of the Word of God that they would put you and me to shame. But they wouldn't take any time with Him in being quiet and listening to see what their instructions would be. If they would take time and listen. But they didn't have time. They were busy preaching. I could take you to the scripture and show you that they were so educated. And they were so in line with the rules and laws of man that God had given them. I'm not telling you that they didn't have it from Him. And I couldn't see their own pride. They got upset with Jesus when He healed on a Sabbath. They couldn't stand that He rose Lazarus from the dead after being in the grave 4 days. They actually planned His crucifixion at that point. So much for logic. You see, the high priest even said, it's only fair that one should die for the whole. And they didn't understand what He was prophesying. Verse 5. Young men, in the same way, be submissive to those who are older. All of you clothe yourself with humility towards one another, because clothe yourself. That's something you and I need to do. Did you get up in the morning and somebody clothed you? I pray not. Because God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. So while you're clothing yourself with humility towards one another, it means you're going to be able to be an example of what Jesus was and what Jesus is inside of you. Verse 6, humble yourself therefore under God's mighty hand, that He may lift you up in due time. Notice who's going to lift you up? Jesus. Cast all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. You heard, if you don't cast your cares on Him, Darlene gave you a nice little way of doing it. Verse 8, be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion or like a bear, looking for someone to devour. Resist him. Stand firm in faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of suffering. Say, I've got company out there. In and out of the church. Many are hurting. Just like me. That gives me a wide open door to intercede as the Lord leads. Now here's that verse 10 again. And the God of all grace, who called you to His eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will Himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. Notice who does those three things. Restore, make you strong, firm, and steadfast. Now, if you and I cry out to Him, is He going to turn the other cheek? Is He going to fill you with His grace and favor? Absolutely. But if you stand your own ground with your own ideas, what are you going to do? You're going to be going back to what you were and where you were. And I was reminded again this morning that those who do not rely on God's grace, who don't call out to Him for revelation, they're never going to be restored. And you will not be made strong or firm or steadfast because you're trying to do it on your own. What God is trying to say out of this word to me and to you is that there are obvious ways that we can choose to continue to go forward. But there are some that you're going to go around a circle and around a circle and around a circle and around a circle or a mountain over and over and over, and you're going to get very tired and disappointed. But I'm saying to you, if Peter had never failed, would he be able to write this letter?
No.
Did God know through Christ Jesus, when he prophesied, you're going to deny me, did Peter have the same opinion?
Nope.
He fought back. I would lay down my life for you. He's got a big declaration. I would never deny you. Was that a godly proclamation?
No, that was his proclamation.
That was his wisdom. He already had discerned that he would never deny the Lord. Did he know that there was another spirit within him?
No.
What was that spirit that was in him that he finally saw about 3 a.m. or 4 a.m. and that next day?
Pride.
Pride was one of them, yeah. What else?
Was it deception?
Yeah, there was some deception. What else?
Fear.
Fear. Here's a little tiny servant girl asking him a few questions, and he goes off on a tirade to defend. Yeah. I can just imagine when Peter walked away in the black of that night, and he's echoing in his own mind the stare that came from the Lord, the rooster that crowed, and now he is totally overwhelmed at his own deception. I believe what he did at that point was, the God of all grace who called me to his eternal glory in Christ, after I have suffered all night, all day, all night, all week, all month, or what? You understand how long that space? I don't know how many days that was, but I'm sure it was seemingly like an eternity. Because when he was on that boat and Jesus is on the outside baking breakfast, he responded, don't even come close to me. I can't stand myself. You know, think about it. I can't stand who I am. I never knew I could deny you. What kind of wisdom was that? Well,
because he was realizing.
I was going to say, you know, at his realization of what was inside of him, who spoke out in the midst of all that horrible experience of watching his Savior, letting himself get caught, which was totally out of character. He was supposed to walk in between those guys, and he let himself be tied. He blew everything that Peter ever knew about himself right out of the water. And he's done that to me many times over. What I expected to turn out to great things, my expectations got what? Anybody got a clue what happened? Shattered. And it gave me an opportunity to say, okay, God, please educate me. I don't want to trust my own wisdom. Because my wisdom is based on the facts of my past. And my past is not an example of my future. Whoops. I hit a brick wall right now. Just close your eyes. Some of you can't handle that. Because that's all you think about is, oh, I did it bad yesterday and I'm going to do it bad tomorrow. Keep your eyes closed. Put your hand over your heart. Say, Lord Jesus, today.
Lord Jesus.
I'm learning that Peter failed.
I'm learning that Peter failed.
And so could I.
And so may I.
And if I do, I'm not going to look at my past as an example of my future. I'm going to look to Almighty God and His glorious grace that's available for me. And it's designed to restore me,
to
make me strong, to make me firm, to make me steadfast, so that I would never deny the Lord of glory. Because I'm depending on Him and not on me. Because my past could have had failures that I might think are hopeless. But they are stepping stones to humble myself and to ask for more grace and for more favor than I've ever had before. And I'm also adding right now, I need your Holy Spirit of wisdom. And I need understanding of who I really am. From the throne of grace. It can be done. And I'm asking right now that I can give myself favor and start again. Not deception. Not lies,
not
accusations
against myself,
because the blood of Jesus totally cleansed me. And I'm clean,
I'm holy,
and I'm acceptable to my Papa.
He loves me.
Look at your neighbor, say, He loves me. And in case you forgot,
He loves you.
He loves you.